السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للتقوى. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Many scientists, psychologists, sociologists agreed that when it comes to the human nature, when it comes to the human needs and desires, the most demanding need for us, for the humans, is peace of mind. Is to have peace of mind, is to have a stress-free life, is to have emotional and spiritual stability in our life. That is the ultimate request, the ultimate goal, the ultimate demand of a human beings. They asked many people whether money is more important for you or peace of mind. The vast majority in many countries, in many societies, answered that peace of mind is more important than money. So they were wondering, how do we create this peace of mind? What are the ways of bringing peace of mind, stability, happiness into this life? There was a survey made by Gallup recently, and it was published in the New York Times about 2 weeks ago. The survey says 2017, last year, was the most painful and stressful year in the lives of many people around the world. In many decades, this last year, 2017, was the most painful and stressful. And people developed negative experiences, such as anxiety, stress, anger, sadness, dissatisfaction. And this survey was made in 154 countries, in many countries in the world. And the title says in the New York Times, you are not alone if you feel you are distressed or stressed or unhappy. You are not alone. You share this feeling with millions of people around the world. So those anthropologists, psychologists, sociologists were discussing, how can we bring happiness? What are the ways? So they made many studies, many surveys, many researched, many interviews with people. And they found out that the most stable people or families or societies were not necessarily the richest people. Neither were these societies that are economically affluent or prosperous. Neither these societies which was militarily more powerful. To their surprise, they found that most of those people who said, we are happy with our life, we don't have any stress, we are enjoying our life, we are enjoying our families, we are enjoying our jobs, we are enjoying our friends. Many of them, they come from poor societies, not necessarily very rich, not necessarily very affluent, not necessarily having big homes or large income. And then they found, on the other hand, that in many affluent societies, societies who have powerful economies, dominant economies, industrial societies, developed societies, with people with large income, they found that they have more tendencies to commit suicide. Do you know that there was a survey in the CNN some few months ago? The survey, the study says that the most people of the world who are prone to suicide are the American people. American people. The richest nation. The nation that threatens every other country, dominates the whole world, dominates the United Nations, intimidates other countries with their military power. They are supposed to be happy. They are supposed to be the strongest, the healthiest. But the survey says the American people are the most people in the world who are prone to commit suicide. There is about 1 million cases every year of people who attempt to commit suicide in this country. 1 million. This is huge. And these numbers are the ones that are reported. But the ones that are not reported, it could be much larger, much bigger. Another survey I read, it was published in the Los Angeles Times, maybe 2 years ago. It's very shocking. It says 83% of the American people, they sometimes survive on sleeping pills. 83%? This is a huge number. This includes not only men and women and adults, it includes children sometimes, teenagers and children. 83% of the American people, they use at some point, maybe not regularly, at some point, they use sleeping pills. Whereas you can find a farmer in the third world, in a country which is underdeveloped. He goes to bed and he snores for 10 straight hours. He enjoys his sleep. He enjoys his wife, his children, his grandchildren, his family, his farm, his animals. I just came back from Hong Kong. I was riding the train, packed, a time of rush hours, these trains, commuter trains, are really packed. People are so disciplined, so nice. You don't hear any noise. People, they stick to each other, their bodies, but nobody insults, nobody hurts. I said to myself, I wish some Muslim countries learn from this. But then, can you imagine? In this country where the average price of an apartment is $3 million, even rich people cannot afford buying an apartment in Hong Kong. In that country, they have the highest rate of suicide. Can you imagine? What does that tell you? It tells you that money is not everything. Money does not necessarily bring happiness. It could be a reason for happiness if you know how to use your money. If you know how to invest your money, where to use it, how to use it. But money is not everything. So these surveys, they found that affluent societies, they suffer. They go to affluent societies, they interview their children, their young ones, their women, their men. They say, we are not happy. Because there is a higher goal. God said, your goal in this life is not to collect money. You are mistaken if you think that you are after money here. I created you just to make money. I created you for a much higher goal. And if you don't seek that higher goal, you would live miserable forever. So the surveys, they found that things that brings happiness, infuses people with hope and happiness and joy and energy, is not money. They found that it is faith. The more people are faithful, the more they are connected to a higher place, a higher entity. The more they are connected to God, the more they pray, the more they meditate, the more they reflect, the more content they become. They found that the number one reason for happiness is qana'a, content, internal satisfaction, real satisfaction, genuine satisfaction, genuine happiness. Qana'a, you are happy with what you have. You don't look left and right at what people have, because our eyes and our hearts are covetous. This is what Imam Ali says. Our eyes and our hearts, they never get full. They always need more. The more they get, the more they ask for. So when you have qana'a, the hadith says, al-qana'atu kanzun la yafna. Content and being happy, being satisfied with what you have is the real treasure, real richness. The richness that does not exhaust, the richness that does not end, does not expire. Continuous richness. When you have qana'a, maybe your house is small, but you are happy with it. Your family is not that big, but you are happy with your family. Your job is not the most, you know, profitable job, but you are happy with it. Al-qana'a. And this is exactly what this book says in chapter 20, Surah Taha. This is a theory, this is the fact mentioned in this book. Before psychologists, anthropologists, sociologists, they found this secret. This book spoke about this secret 1400 years ago. Surah Taha. Surah Taha, verse 131. God speaks to his prophet, and through the prophet he speaks to us. وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُمْ زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِيهِ وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Do not strain your eyes. وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ. Don't look left and right at what people have. At this glamour, this splendor of this dunya. You walk in the market, oh, I wish to buy this, I wish to buy that. In one of the huge malls, what caught my attention is Kate Spade. a shop called Kate Spade. Do you know that the owner of this shop, she opened more than 300 branches, about 150 inside America and 150 outside America. If you go to every prosperous country, rich neighborhood, you can find Kate Spade. She sold her company for $2.4 billion. $2.4 billion. This is a budget of one of the Arab countries today. $2.4 billion. But then a few months ago, she committed suicide. People are enjoying her handbags today, purchasing it. Many of them, they don't know that the owner, the designer, the creator of this handbag killed herself. Why did she kill herself? Because she didn't have money? No enough money? No enough space to live? No enough cars to drive? No enough friends? She had all these things. But again, we have to have qana'ah, content, and happiness, internal happiness. Sometimes you have little food, little money, but you work, you have energy. Jibreel came to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulallah, God is offering this dunya to own it, you own it. You have the keys of this dunya. The Prophet said, no. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy to sit on dirt. His house was furnished with dirt. This was his furniture. I'm happy to have Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, and Ali, and my friends, and my mosque, and my community, and my work. I'm happy. I don't need the dunya. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari, who's not a prophet, who's not a messenger, he's a companion of a prophet. He's a companion, sahabi. Muawiyah wanted to purchase him, to purchase his conscience, to polarize him towards him against Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he sent someone with a bundle of money. At that time, money was gold, gold coins. He puts that in front of Abu Dhar. Abu Dhar was a poor man, homeless. He says, Muawiyah sends his greetings to you, and he says, we want your loyalty. We want you to stand with us against Ali. And this is yours. This is a down payment. Abu Dhar al-Ghifari turned to a straw mat under him. He was sitting on a straw mat. And he took out two loaves of bread. He said, see, I have these two loaves of bread. One for the morning, one for the evening. I would survive on these two loaves of bread and decline the money of Muawiyah, because I would not trade the loyalty and love of Ali ibn Abi Talib for anything in this dunya. I'm the happiest person. I have Ali in my heart. Ali is my leader. Ali is my friend. This is richness. We have these examples. Sometimes when I see some Shia people complaining, I tell them, maybe you don't have money, you don't have a big house, you don't have a fast car, but you have the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You have to be proud of that. You have to get hold of that. What would money do for you? Lots of money. If you are not driving on the right path, if you are not heeding the call of God and his apostle, what would money do? Would it really bring happiness, real happiness? This life is ending, my friends. This life is not continuing. One day we have to leave. So whatever money we have is not going to help us. But the wilaya of Ahlul Bayt, the friendship of Ahlul Bayt, the fellowship of Ahlul Bayt. And Ahlul Bayt, I say Ahlul Bayt because when I say Ahlul Bayt, I mean the path of God, the path for the Prophet, the path for all Anbiya. Some people say you focus on Imam Hussein. Yes, we focus on Imam Hussein because Imam Hussein is a gateway for God, for the Prophet, for all Anbiya. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ God says, if you want to learn content, وَأْمُرْ Bid your family to connect with me. بِالصَّلَاةِ Salat is connection with God. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا Be steadfast therein. Be steadfast in remembering us. Not one or two days, continuously. It has to be a habit. You open your eyes in the morning with God's remembrance. You go to bed in the evening with God's remembrance.
واصطبر عليها. لا نسألك رزقا. We don't ask you for a provision. نحن نرزقك. We provide for you. And then والعاقبة للتقوى. The end result is for those who have reverence, taqwa and piety. The ultimate happiness, ultimate joy, ultimate success in this life for those who have piety and righteousness. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. روي عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه قال المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Today is the anniversary of the departure and martyrdom of our fourth Imam, Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad Zain al-Abidin عليه السلام. One of the iconic figure of the humanity. This morning I was watching a clip. Hindu people are commemorating Imam Hussein in India. So they were interviewed by the BBC. You are Hindus and Imam Hussein is a Muslim leader. So why do you commemorate his anniversary? The Hindu man answered, he said, no, Imam Hussein does not belong to the Muslims. Imam Hussein is a universal figure. He belongs to the humanity. And the entire humanity loves him. Those leaders are international, global, universal. They are not Shia. We cannot say Imam Hussein is a Shia. He is a Shia, he is a Muslim, but he's not restrained and restricted within our circles. We should not keep them for us. We should introduce them for the world. Ahlul Bayt, they teach us that we need friends in this life. If you want to thrive and enjoy your life, even if you have a family, you still need friends, good friends. And you need to know how to make friends. And most importantly, how to keep the friendship. You don't lose it. Sometimes we make friends, but we lose the friendship down the road. How do you maintain it? How do you keep it? How do you make it flourishing? You need friends. You cannot live without friends in this life. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the closest people to you
الأصدقاء أقرب الأقارب. The closest people to you are your friends. Your real family are your friends. Sometimes you confine to a friend where you don't confine to your wife, to your father, to your mother, to your brother. So keep the friendship strong. Know how to make friends and know how to keep this friendship. And therefore, I was in the airplane writing some points. And these are the points that I, according to my limited understanding, these are the qualities of a good friend. Number one, a real friend is the one who stands with you at the time of misfortune and distress. A real friend is the one that you can count on him or her for help at the time of emergency. They don't turn their back to you. They carry your hem. If you have hem in your heart, if you have a problem, they come to you. They are the first responders who come to you for aid, for help. Sometimes the help is material, physical, financial. Sometimes it's emotional, spiritual. You need someone to strengthen you. You need someone to support you. You need someone to hold your back, to hold your hand during these tumultuous, turbulent times. That is the friend. If that person does not stand with you, then don't count on him. He's not a real friend. And we have to test people sometimes to see whether they stand with us or they turn their back to us. So this is number one, equality. Number two, a friend who's always faithful and loyal to you. Wafa. Wafa is a beautiful trait. This is the character of the prophets, the imams. Wafa. Being loyal, being faithful, being true. That friend does not want to exploit you. That friend does not want to drain you physically or financially or emotionally. That friend does not have greed or desire in your wealth, in what you have. He does not want to use you to obtain a post, to obtain a position, to obtain something material. No, he's not looking at your pocket. He's looking at your heart, your soul. This is the loyalty. If you can find such a person, take him as a good friend, as a close friend. Don't let go of that person. Faith, being faithful, that is the best trait. Not forgetting. At the time of emergencies, he called you. He is the first one to call you to inquire about you, your family. What do you need? I am here for you. This is the beauty of life, believe me. The beauty of life is about human relationships, not money transactions. Money transactions are not important. What is really important is human transactions, human interactions, human relationships, human standing with one another, human knowing each other. This is the beauty of this life. The third trait of a real friend is that he's truthful and honest with you. You can trust. The most important trait between the friends is the trust. Once the trust is broken, once the trust is gone, there is no more friendship. He or she would advise you in such a way that he advises his own self. He advises his own children, his own family members, his own brothers and sisters. He does not say something to himself and something else to you. Whatever he advises his own self, he will provide it for you. Whatever he loves for his own self, he would love it for you. Whatever he hates for his own self, he will hate it for you. He is honest and truthful. This is the third trait. The fourth, A true friend is the one who is rich, not only in his bank account, but in his heart too. Many people around us, we find them to be rich only in their bank accounts, only in their wallets and their pockets, but not in their hearts. That is not real richness. That is not real happiness. The real richness is when the person is rich in his soul, in his heart. The real society, the real community, the real country, the real family is the one that is rich in their heart. A few days ago, I was flying out of Kuala Lumpur, and I had some change in my pocket left. So before we landed, I came to two of the flight attendants at the back of the airplane. I said, I have some change. Can you take it when you go to downtown city center? Give it to some people. He said, no, sorry. I said, why? This is not for you. I'm not giving the money to you. They said, you can exchange the money. I said, no, it's not worth it. $7, $8, not worth it. They said, keep it as a souvenir. I said, I used to do this when I was a teenager, but not anymore. They said, this is richness. Any person can take the money, put it in his pocket. They didn't even ask about the amount. They did not know about the amount, actually. I admire such people. Such people, when you give him money, he says, no, sorry. One of them said, this is a responsibility. Can't take it. You enjoy such human beings. You have peace of mind living with such people. And sometimes I find couples coming to the office here filing for divorce. She says, my husband does not let me know about his wallet, where he keeps his wallet. He doesn't let me know about his bank account. Is this marital life? Is this friendship? When a husband and wife living under one roof, they don't allow each other to know about some dollars, some money, some bank accounts. This is not marriage. Richness has to be in the heart. Number five, this is very important quality in our friends. A good friend is the one that connects you to God always, puts you through God, always connects you, always reminds you of God, reminds you that this life is going to conclude. We are about to embark on a larger life, real life, bigger life, more genuine life, the akhirah. That is the real friend. Not a friend who speaks always about dunya, how to make money, how to make investment, how to make this, how to purchase that, how to sell that. But the one who brings you good values, good principles, who make you stronger, who make you healthier, who make you think right, who make you follow the right objective, the right goals in this life, who inspires you day and night, that is a friend. That is a friend that you cannot afford missing. That is a friend that you have to embrace and you hug and you follow and you cherish and you value. That is the real friend. If you find such a friend, those are more precious sometimes than your father and your mother. Get hold of them. And you do have them, believe me. It's all about discovery, how to discover these qualities in people around us. In conclusion, we are preparing for the Arba'een, inshallah, of Imam Hussein. We're going to commemorate the Arba'een on October 27th, 28th, and 29th, inshallah. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And we are collecting money for the Zuwar of the Arba'een. So if you'd like to contribute to help the Zuwar with food, clothing, and medicine, you can see Haj Samir Amiri, inshallah, and give the donations because we have to send them to Karbala as soon as possible. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat, wal muslimina wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية وعجل في فرج إمامنا وقائدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد